I firmly believe that we deserve, period.
I just feel like it's important to keep saying that out loud, that this is us learning in public.
The foundation of how to not have trash politics is really just relationships, right?
So if you're not aware of how powerful you are, then how can you be using your power to bring others up?
We're giving you collective liberation. We're giving you personal healing. We're giving you millennial auntie with a mic.
You're listening to Scene, the podcast.
Sick and disabled and neurodivergent folks aren't supposed to dream, especially if we are queer and black or brown. We're just supposed to be grateful the normals let us live. But I am the product of some wild, disabled, black and brown queer revolutionary dreaming, and I am dedicated to dreaming more sick and disabled queer brown femme dreams. That's a quote from Leah Lakshmi Piepsna Samarasinha. Plot twist, Leah is not the BIPOC of the week.
Ooh,
this week.
Okay.
I like to just keep you guessing. But I wanted to start with that quote from their book, Care Work, because today is about dreaming and dreaming things for ourselves that maybe haven't been dreamed for us, or that maybe parts of us feel like we're not supposed to or not allowed to have.
Mm.
So our question today, and the question I want to ask you right now, is what do you wish for yourself?
Loaded. Mm. Not an insignificant question. I think more than anything, what I want for myself, what I wish for myself, is that I would feel content and feel like I'm able to enjoy who I am, where I'm at, what I have, what I've created, like being, as my father-in-law says, in the now of now. Like that is something that I struggle with a lot. Like I've always felt like, okay, on to the next thing. Like I don't even have time to savor where I'm at a lot of the times. And retrospectively, when I look back at things, I'm like, oh, that was a moment. Like that was the time. Oh my God, I'm so proud of that. And I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to be rushing. And then I have to ask myself, I'm like, what am I rushing towards? And yeah, I think this question is a powerful one, and it really feels connected to the first episode we did in this new format, which was like, what do you keep hidden? Actually, was that the second one? It was the second one. It was the second one. Our first one was, do you fight with your friends? Listen to that if you haven't. That's a plug. But yeah, like, what do you hide from yourself? Like that question for me was like, that I want nice things, that I want stability. So building off on that, what I wish for myself is like just being able to enjoy the nice things that I do have, the stability that I have created, how far I have come, and being in that and like basking in that, as opposed to like always longing for something else.
Yeah. So I was going to ask if the wish or the dream is contentment, then what is it that you have now, or where are you now that's not that? And it sounds like you're saying longing and maybe rushing. Are there other things about your state now that are in opposition to contentment, maybe?
I wouldn't say that there are, I don't know if there are things in opposition to contentment. I think I haven't felt like I could peel back that layer and actually like look at it and sit with it and enjoy what I do. So it's not like, to me, I don't feel like it's a I don't have it. It's more just like I'm slowly beginning to like awaken to what I do have, and I want to enjoy that. So maybe it's like what I have lacked in the past has been like an awareness of that pattern of like rushing and not savoring. And I had a conversation with my partner a few weeks ago, and he was like, in this season of your life, oh, I want to, like, maybe this is a great time to like also talk about my decision that I've made in my life.
Tell me.
You already know this decision. Oh. Brand new. This is,
well, you said it as if like, well, you, I didn't people, know, maybe
the listeners, okay, they don't know, like I tell you
stuff. Oh, I know you, what we're talking about,
bitch, like now. You acting very brand new right now.
What, how do I know that you have it? Nolan's home now, yeah, like, yeah. It could be about any number of things in your life. I don't know about all of the decisions that you make on a day-to-day basis, but I'm with you. I figured this out.
Anyways, so okay. So the decision, this is like ultimate suspense. I'm kind of loving it. There's like 45 seconds of like, what decision? Oh my God, the decision. So I have decided to take a step away from the nonprofit work that I've been doing. I've been working as like a project lead on a really beautiful and exciting transformative justice initiative at a local organization called WEPA, Rape Crisis Center, that I have been affiliated with for like almost like 10 years, actually, this year. And I decided that I need to take a step away from anti-violence work because that's not where I shine. That's not where I feel filled up. That's not where I feel a sense of generosity for myself and care for myself. I need to put my own needs first. And so it's hard, but I'm really excited about that. And so related to the question that of the week or of this episode, what do you wish for yourself? And I say contentedness. I'm like, well, I also want to be moving towards contentedness and just appreciating the amount of work that I've put in to be at a place where I can take a step back from one of my jobs and put my full attention into my consulting practice. And that's a really exciting thing. Like I have never, I'm not very good at celebrating my shit, let alone publicly. And I'm not saying that I will be doing that every time, although maybe we should make that a tradition where we just come to the podcast.
That'd be the best.
Let this be our red table to talk. Yes. and we just share the things. But yeah, I think like part of that is also just like, yes, yeah, celebrating what you've done, what you've accomplished. And it might not be a big thing, like making that kind of decision that I've made, because that feels big to me. For other folks, it might be like, great, you quit your job and now you're working for yourself. That's great. Excellent. Whatever. But like, it's a huge deal for me. And I need to put, but I'm just saying.
I think it sounds objectively like a huge thing.
It's all relative, right? Like for the reason that I like took a step out of that space, and I won't get into it today, but like was to choose myself. And that's a huge step because I have never been so much on this path of choosing myself as I have been in the past like year and a half, 2 years. And I'm so proud of myself. So yeah, like even saying that makes me feel uncomfortable, but it's helpful that I'm having a glass of wine. That is aiding.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say that I'm also really proud of you, and I know it was a really difficult decision and something that you were sitting with for a while. And I also remember last year when you had to quit a different job, and it felt like that was as much as, I mean, the situations were, there was overlap, but they're very different. But I feel like I just noticed a difference in your process between last time and this time. And I guess I wonder if maybe you have some practice like choosing yourself and doing the really scary thing and kind of betting on yourself. And maybe this time, even though it was still really hard, it felt maybe a little bit more accessible.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you're right. It was similar, but very different. This work that I've been doing at WEPA has felt so close to my heart as a survivor. And I think that's the reason why it's been so hard for me to make this decision. I don't make it lightly. And I did have practice I've had two other times of practice when I left my kind of more corporate job to do a job that I quote unquote felt was more meaningful. But then that job ended up being what it was. And so stepping away from that last year we're stepping away from two jobs last year was a huge, like, oh my God, I'm like bucking my entire life up. Like, I just felt like I was upending my life. And I'm realizing that what being a survivor means to me actually is changing. And it's like that I can make it, that I can like choose for myself, that like the things that I want for all survivors also applies to me. I always am like wishing like, well, the people that I interact with. And that also begins with me. That starts with me. I talk so much game about modeling the behavior that we want to see. And it's like, well, fuck, bitch. Like, you got to do that for yourself. Like, you need to know when in your heart of hearts it's not good for you. And so the path to that, I'm hoping, is a sense of I can enjoy even right now where I'm at, even next month where I'm at, you know, even the month after that where I'm at, like, and be in the moment and enjoy the moment, because I know I take shit for granted. And it's just, I think that like last year when I made the decision to leave that previous position because of a very toxic work environment, I was just really attuned to like, you really only have one life. Like, you really only have like one shot, right? So what do you want to do with your time? And I want to enjoy my time.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was sometime last year that I just caught myself thinking, I think it was something even that I was, I can't remember if it was something that I was excited about or something that I was nervous about. But either way, I was sort of looking ahead on the calendar and I was like, okay, and as of this date, you know,
yeah,
this thing will be, I'll have the thing or I won't have the thing.
Right.
Whichever one it was. And it's a great story so far. And I just suddenly, it clicked for me in that moment. I can spend my whole life that way. And I do. And a lot of us do.
Right.
It's sort of just like always looking ahead to the next thing. And it's always an illusion, you know, when I get this thing, I'll feel good. When I am past this thing that is bad, then I'll feel
better,
content or happy, better. I'll feel okay. And it's an illusion. It's like that it becomes the stable state. And then, yeah, suddenly you'll find yourself at the end of your life, like, where did it all go?
Yeah. And I'm trying to remember what it is that's brought me somewhere, as opposed to like fixate about where it is I'm going to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is a huge part of the energy that I want to usher into my 30th year next year,
mm-hmm.
which is like being here, being in relationship, not focusing on and relationship with myself specifically. Because girl, I was just saying this to Nolan yesterday. I'm like, I'm realizing that so much of what I have always thought was like my Achilles heel is my genius. Like, it's sort of weird. You know, I told you that I like have been taking time away from social media. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, it's because it's like, it's really noisy for me. Like, being online all the time is a lot. And as a person who's always taking in information and analyzing and being like, just thinking all the time, it's a lot. And I'm recognizing now that the way that my company came to be was through thinking a lot, right? Like, the thing that I can do really well is to like think a lot. Like, I can think a lot. I can think things, and thinking is my own superpower. Whether or not other people validate that, I know the thing that I value the most about myself is my ability to think and discern and be thoughtful. And I've never been able to enjoy that. I have always seen it as like, what's wrong with me? How do I quiet the thoughts? Like, how do I turn the noise down in my own head? And now I'm trying to think of like, how do I harness that? How do I affirm that? When I feel this urge to like spill out all this information, like oozing out of me, like, where do I channel that into? Bitch, I'm writing a lot. Like, just writing. Cause I'm like, okay, well, how did I get here to this place where I can take a step away from a nonprofit job into this other thing? I was just like pouring my ideas and thoughts. Some of them are very shitty, but also somewhere in there is like something that's been able to afford me the stability, the ability to bring all parts of me to work that I choose because I create it. And so I want to enjoy that. Like I want to, that's what I mean. Like I want to be in the now of now. I can't even say that's my quote, like literally, but it just makes me, it's so apt. Like being in the now of now for me really just means like showing up here with you doing this. I'm sounding full ass Aquarian right now because I'm like, be in the now of now. But I don't know if that resonates with you. I don't know if that.
It does. And I mean, I think it's, I mean, I guess I shouldn't say anything is universal, but I feel like it really aligns with a lot of spiritual beliefs and practices over, you know, millennia of being here now and what changes when you can do that and when you can just be with what is instead of maybe what you wish was, and working with, you know, acceptance and sort of yes and instead of trying to like change what you are or what is around you.
Totally.
I mean, we want to change. We like change is so important and change is a constant. But at the same time, it's like maybe like, yeah, that dialectic between acceptance and change.
You always quote Octavia Butler.
Mm-hmm.
God is change. And I want to be moving slow enough that I'm actually able to see the change and not just wake up one day and be like, boop, wow, how did I get here? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. I'm curious about you. I want to know, what do you wish for yourself?
Yeah, the answer to the question came up pretty much immediately when the question was asked. And what I wish for myself is peace. I'm going to be really interested to see how this overlaps with your answer, because I feel like they're similar, but I don't know if they're also different. But for me, I think there's so much emotional turmoil that I live with that is so based on the past.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my experiences of being really intensely bullied as a kid and experiencing a lot of violence and family stuff and racism and, you know, all these different things. And so there's this turmoil, and I've worked on it for a long time in therapy, like so long. And so much has changed. That work isn't for nothing, you know, like the fact that I feel that this is based in the past and not based in the present is because of therapy. Like that's been what has allowed me to build the life that I have now, the relationships that I have now, what I actually feel about myself now, the career I have, like how I see myself in the world and all of that. That's all because of therapy. And if it wasn't for that, I don't think I would experience the turmoil as being so like out of step with what's happening now. But at the same time, I think something that is frustrating for me is that I have worked on it for so long in therapy and it still hugely impacts me like every day. And so, yeah, if I could like wave a magic wand, I would just want to be able to have peace from that.
Do you feel like, it sounds like right now, like you've gotten to a place where you're able to like look at the past and understand and conceptualize it. And obviously through this like question, we're looking at the future of what you want. And you've done all this work to get you to this place. I guess my question is like, what makes it the most challenging for you to like grab that peace and create that peace for yourself, or sit in that peace, or have that peace feel like it's lasting? Like, do you feel like you don't have it at all, or you have some of it, or you want more of it?
Yeah, I definitely have some of it. And that's how I see the results of my work.
Yeah.
Is in how much I do have it. And I think it's almost like an automatic, I mean, it's complex trauma or chronic trauma, it's sometimes referred to, is more when it's from experiences that are, they last for longer over time. And it's not just like a one-time kind of, you know, you got into this one car accident and so now you have PTSD from that car accident.
Right.
It's more like, you know, you experienced emotional abuse for
a prolonged amount
years
of time.
Or,
right.
Yeah, things like okay. that.
Yeah.
And so the kind of like, and there is overlap between these things, but the kind of more simple or like stereotypical way that people in mental health would talk about triggers from PTSD would be like, you were attacked by someone who was wearing a red hat. And now you see the color red and your body just goes into like fight or flight. And you might not even realize like that you saw that color red out of like the side of your eye, but your system on some level knows and
is reacting.
Exactly.
Right.
So then with complex trauma, a lot of the time you're having like emotional flashbacks. And a lot of times it's like even harder to identify like why it's happening because it's like there, you know, you can't kind of go and mine like this one incident for what could all the triggers be and from this one thing. So I think what makes it hard for me is like I have these kind of emotional flashbacks a lot and just these feelings kind of seem to come out of nowhere and like they're not at all connected to like what's
happening
in the moment, because and often nothing is happening, like I'm just like
chilling,
yeah, literally,
right.
I'm not even taking anything in or doing anything. So I think that is something that makes it hard to work on beyond what I already do.
I find it so interesting that like for you, or maybe I'm jumping ahead, but it doesn't sound like you demonize the flashbacks or any of that. It sounds like what you want is like an acceptance of like what was. And that's so fascinating to me because I've spent so much time on my own for myself being like, what's wrong with me? Like, I've told you this before. Do you ever, like, as you're describing this, has it ever surfaced for you like a sense of judgment on yourself? And if not, like, shout out to you, because that's fucking amazing. Like, I just, you know what I mean? Like, it blows my mind that like, it sounds like you're like, I want to accept and have peace, as opposed to I want to change who I am, or I'm like needing, you know what I mean? Like, I need to change.
Yeah,
myself.
But no, it's not like I want to accept that this happens. Mm. It's that I want it to go away.
Right.
That's the peace that I wish for myself, right. would be for that to not happen anymore, to not feel that turmoil and like the flashbacks and what happens. And in terms of whether I judge myself for it, I think it comes and goes. Like, I think I certainly feel frustrated.
Yeah.
And whether that's directed at myself or not, it probably depends on the moment. Often it's not, and often it is. I also feel, I think, fear of judgment, which, you know, shows that there is also self-judgment, because I think that's usually a part of it, if we are afraid that other people will judge us, especially in this case where I don't actually think it's true, but because I'm a therapist, I worry about, oh, well, people are going to listen to this and be like, you must be a terrible therapist if you like don't know how to fix this, or
like for yourself.
Yeah, for yourself. Like, why would anyone go and see you? Because you obviously can't even figure out your own life. Or, you know, I might have clients who would listen to this and be like, you know, have those same thoughts. And I don't actually think that that's something that, yeah, I certainly don't think any of my clients who listen to it would feel that way. And I don't even really, I mean, I'm not even taking new clients. If somebody else is like, well, don't want to work with you, it's like,
too
well,
bad.
You can't, so it's all good.
She busy. Yeah. She booked, you know? Yes.
Exactly. But yeah, but there's like kind of that sense of like shame of like, well, I should have figured this out by now. So yeah. I don't just feel like I'm fine with all of this, and you know, it's just, it is what it is. I do sometimes, but yeah, not not a lot of the time.
I mean, that's real though, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, all the things you just said, the way that you have this like remarkably high standard for yourself to like have to be figured out. I mean, I think a lot of us can relate to that. And I deeply, obviously relate to the feeling of, I wish this thing that I'm struggling with just wasn't there entirely. And I don't like for myself, and I guess I'm curious of how this feels when I say this to you, because it might rub the wrong way of like, is that realistic for this thing to just go away, for this thing to no longer be there?
Yeah, no, I don't think it's realistic.
Fair enough.
This was like my magic wand question, but also I think it's realistic over time, because yeah, a lot has changed. And I think if you take me back 10 years and sort of give me access to see what I'm able to do now, like able to access some of the feelings in my body, you know, because I do have a lot of peace in my life that I just didn't have 10 or 15 years ago,
right?
Like ever. Like, I feel like I'd be like, what? Am I in a body right now? Like, what's going on? Like, wow. I would be so confused if I were to like try to fast forward into this, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it kind of reminds me of how a lot of times with clients, like sometimes the frustration comes up, you know, like just the frustration with the process.
Yeah.
And they'll say like, you know, I've been working on this for however long and I just feel like, you know, I'm so frustrated that it feels like nothing's changing. And I'll kind of share, okay, well, from the outside, like I totally get how frustrating it is from the inside and how it can feel like nothing's changing. But from the outside, like, here's where you were at, like when I met you, or, you know, 6 months ago or whatever. Here's what I notice now. Like, here's all the things that I notice that are different, like all the things that you can do now that you couldn't, or like, you know, ways that, you know, you're able to like, we just had a whole conversation about this thing that like you couldn't even, it was too much to even like think about it when we first started working together. And So I notice a lot of difference. And then they're like, oh yeah, like now that you say that,
you can see it for yourself.
Yeah.
And I find like that's sort of what I was talking about before, when I was like, I want to be able to be able to see the changes that I'm making in my life as I'm making them, which is really difficult, right? I mean,
yeah.
Like you said, you're a whole ass therapist providing that as a service to others. And so I'm kind of like, well, who do we allow to be privy to our process as we are transforming, as we are surprising younger versions of ourselves? Like, are we letting people in to see that? And I think like the more I can let others in to see that, the more I'm actually able to be held accountable is not the right word, but like guided into celebration, witnessed, exactly, witnessed. And that is super meaningful. Like that, in my opinion, is like the point of why we're here, is to be like embodying and living, and then to be witnessed and be able to celebrate that embodiment and that growth and that change that you were talking about before with other people. So I'm curious for you, do you have, I feel like I am one of the people that has gotten to witness you, but we've only been friends for, I mean, not that long. I wonder, are there other people that you give that opportunity to witness the ways that you've changed? And is that important to you? Or how do you feel about this idea of somebody witnessing and reminding you like, hey, I get that you don't see how things are for you, but from the outside looking in, look how much you've grown, or look how much you've stretched yourself, or look how much you've surprised yourself, or look at where you came from, like any of those kinds of things.
Yeah, I definitely do have people that are really close to me that do offer reflections. What is the part that I'm hesitating? I'm like, okay, I'm sure you can hear in my voice.
Yeah, does it feel like a strange, like, this idea of witnessing, do you feel uncomfortable by it?
No, I think it's more that maybe it's to an extent. I'm trying to think of like, what are the parts that I keep people out of? I mean, part of it is, I think, I talk about the thing more than I let people see me in the thing.
Yeah.
So that's probably part of it. I do find it difficult, I think, sometimes to accept, I guess, praise isn't really like the right word in this context, but that's the word that came up. Sometimes it feels like very uncomfortable, but it reminds me of the conversation we were having when we talked about, you know, self-denial is not a virtue. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that I've really been trying to let in more, is both like trying to be less uncomfortable with positive reflections that I get back from people, but I think also trying to feel more comfortable in just like giving it to myself, you know, giving those positive reflections to myself. And I do feel like there's been a bit of a shift where, because I think there's been a part of me that's felt like I really have to deny myself and I have to be critical of myself and I can't feel good about myself. And I think there's been a part of me that started to just be like, no, I can like lay that down and I'm going to give myself permission to. And that's not an overnight fix, but I also have noticed a difference. And I wonder if you've also like started to notice differences when you think about wanting to be able to just experience more contentment. Have you like noticed shifts, even though it's still a process for you?
Yeah, I totally have noticed the way that I give myself more permission to, I said before, like choose myself and appreciate myself and the gifts that I have. It helps when people affirm those gifts, obviously. But it's so much more maybe meaningful when I'm able to sort of peel back a layer of myself and see it for myself on my own time. I'm like, what? She's been here all along. Like, I feel like I've been able to see myself and speak to myself, like directly to me, not like versions of myself, not like the version of myself that has to get shit done in the day, not the part of myself that is pretending or masked, but like I've noticed how much quicker I'm able to get to the heart of myself and talk to myself and be with myself. And that did not happen overnight. Like that took so much dedicated crying and emoting and processing and sometimes letting people in and just being a hot fucking mess. So when you said before, like that you feel like you are good at talking about the experience, but not letting people in to see you experience something as it's happening in real time, I'm like, yeah, girl, I have been the queen of intellectualizing my emotions and talking about things in like abstract terms. And I've noticed even on this podcast, the like journey that both of us have taken. I mean, we're doing it, we're practicing speaking to ourselves and to each other right now. But the podcast has been a really cool invitation and practice of like peeling the layer, because there are times when I want to hide in the like, let's be performancey, like let's put on a show, let's talk to our listeners, let's make this cute. And then I'm like, okay, we could do that, but then I've just spent, you know, how much time in prep and how much time recording and how much time in post being like, that didn't even resonate for me and I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to enjoy the process of us doing this fucking podcast. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, why are we doing it?
100%. Yeah, so now I'm just kind of thinking about like, you know, and maybe it's something that we'll take and keep reflecting on over time. I know that we will. Is even maybe expanding our ideas of contentment and peace and what that can even mean and what that can look like and how we can have those things today without like needing there to be something that changes in order for us to have those things.
Yeah. Because that's what I was trying to get at when I was like, do you think it's realistic? Not to say that it's not realistic, but more just like, where can you find a bit of that peace every day? Where can you name that peace every day?
Yeah, well, and even, you know, when you said, am I just wanting to accept, you know, these feelings? And I was like, no, absolutely not. I want them to go away.
real time. She said what she said. Yes.
And now, you know, it's been sitting with me for 20 minutes and I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I should. Not even should, no, but like, yeah. But like, yeah. You know, it's like there's the pain and there's the suffering, yes. Right? And the suffering is like the resistance to the pain.
Yeah.
And so how can I find peace, not just in between those moments of turmoil, but allowing maybe turmoil to exist at the same time as peace? Is that like a complete paradox? I don't know, but maybe.
But paradoxes make the world turn. Like, I think
yeah.
The more comfortable we are in expanding what we accept to be true, because what is true is oftentimes both and. It's usually not like this absolute thing where we get to have it exactly the way we want it to be. It's like, how can we make something out of whatever we got? And I think that, I don't know, for me, that's like the only thing that I have is that principle. Because otherwise I'm like, yo, bitch, I'm never going to be happy. Like, I will always be like, let me wait until these hosts see me in 9 months. I'm going to be done this thing. And then it's like, I do the thing and then I'm not actually happy, like you said. So I think the paradox is the vibe.
I love that. That was perfect. You've been asking all the amazing, wise questions and just making me rethink like my everything lately. It's just been the best.
Really?
Aww. It's been, yes. Oh my God. You've like, yes, it's been incredible. I feel like all my most difficult moments lately, you've been like right there and you've been like, how about this question? Like, how about think about it this way? And I'm like, oh my God, yes, this is everything that I needed. And it's so helpful. I want to talk about our BIPOC of the week and just read a quote. So Prentice Hampill, I see from your face.
Yes, I love the work that they do.
Yes. They're the founder of the Embodiment Institute. They're a somatics practitioner. They have a podcast called Finding Our Way. They were the healing justice director at the Black Lives Matter Global Network. They're incredible. It's many, many other things. I feel like we could spend this whole podcast talking about the amazing things that Prentice has done. But I just wanted to share a quote from an essay they wrote called The Wisdom of Process. The truth is that I don't know what we become when we heal. None of us does. That is the wisdom of process. I know that when I opened up to myself and became more of me, I became curious and porous. I cried more and argued less. I knew where my fight belonged and where it didn't. I knew where I belonged, and I insisted on remaining. In healing, we become more of ourselves. We move away from controlling our expressions, insisting on who we will be, gatekeeping to manage our insecurities, and we discover who we are after all this time, after all these breaks, with all this joy. I am proposing a process, not a destination. A necessary process for us to become, a process that will fundamentally reshape us and our relationships, and will have to, by its very magnitude, reshape the world.
Hey everyone, it's Nick.
And Lala.
If you've been listening to Scene and you like what you hear,
please share us with your friends.
Subscribe to the podcast.
Follow us on Instagram at Scene the Podcast.
Write a review and just tell us what you think.
And help make this work sustainable by supporting Scene the Podcast on Patreon.
We need our beautiful community and we cannot do this without you.